those of you that have your Bibles this morning, we're going to ask that we would turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Is it any kind of possible way I can get some more monitor volume? It's dead up here, amen. I'm not dead. I serve the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Isaiah chapter 40. I don't know if you can turn the house down and pump up the monitors, but I'm struggling trying to hear. Isaiah chapter 40. And we want to look at verse 28. The prophet Isaiah. Verse 28, and it reads, "Hast thou," he asked, "not known? And hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth," Isaiah says, "he fainteth not. He said, neither is he weary. And he said, there is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." He said, "even the youth shall faint and be weary." I know when we think we're young, we just got a lot of strength. But when it comes to God, hast thou not known? He never runs out of gas. He said, "and the young men shall utterly fall." But the encouragement to us he gives, he said, "but they that wait upon the Lord," he said, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Amen. I want to speak to you from this subject. God invites you to change your circumstances. Amen. God invites you to change your circumstances. To God, who is our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, so glad he's our Savior. The Holy Spirit, our Comforter. To our officers, to our mothers, to our ushers, thank you so much this morning for your services. To our music ministry, amen. Thank you for the encouragement of the edifying of the saints and song. And to the absence of Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, pray for the both of them. They both had an engagement this morning, okay? And to all of my Father's children that are present, whether you be member, visitor, or friend, let the record be made known that it is good again for us to be here. Amen. If pressure can crack concrete, then the pressure of breakups and breakdowns, I think you'll agree, can put cracks in our Christian walks. Not only can it put cracks in our Christian walk, but it can put holes in our holiness. it can place a gulf in our godliness, and pressure can divide our loyalty. Let's face the fact is that every faith in this place has a story behind that smile. All of us will reach our breaking point, whether it is through a breakdown or a breakup. Guess what? You will reach a breaking point. Everybody has a breaking point. And as believers, we have the power to change. Yeah. Because I find here in these texts that God is inviting you and I to change your situation. So the question is, what is your breaking point? What is your breaking point? Is it news that came back negative? Is it a doctor's report that said cancer is positive? What is your breaking point? Is it that she said no to your proposal and said yes to his proposal? What's your breaking point? Is it living from paycheck to paycheck? What's your breaking point? Is it a company that doesn't need you anymore? Or is it another child support letter? What's your breaking point? Is it meeting another scrub or a hoochie mama? What's your breaking point? Is it a family member that don't appreciate you? What's your breaking point? Is it a disease that is spreading quickly, a promotion that is coming slowly? What is your breaking point? Is it the haters who's coming at you indiscreetly? Or is it the folk you thought that had your back only to discover that they are stabbing you discreetly in your back? What's your breaking point? But when breakups or breakdowns happen and you are at your breaking point, God provides for us a breakthrough in the midst of what you've been through. Isaiah writes in chapter 40 to minister to people who had reached their breaking point. And I can tell you the only thing you can do for people who have reached their breaking point is to do what Isaiah did, was to point them back to God. I know I'm right about it. We have to learn to point people back to God. Why? Because prayers are answered. When you point people back to God, faith is rewarded, blessings are received, desires are fulfilled, sickness are healed, and battles are won when we point folk back to God. Isaiah chapter 40 itself is a breaking point. Because chapter 1 through chapter 39 is known as the old Isaiah, which is a judgment of God. But when we get to chapter 40 through chapter 66, it's known as the new Isaiah, which is encouragement from God. God never gives us judgment and never gives us encouragement on how we can get out. So when God invites you to change your circumstance, then I want to make 3 points, and I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and you ready for your hot wings and your honey barbecue sauce or whatever it may be, but give me a few minutes and I'm going to get out of your way. But first of all, then, if we're going to change our circumstances, then the text lets us know we got to get refocused on God. Yeah, because Isaiah asked, he said, have you not known? And have you not heard? Have you not known? And have you not heard? Isaiah asked that question early on in verse 21, because he says, now what you've heard and about God is not nothing new. But what he's letting us know here is that we got to learn how to stay in tune to the voice of God. Yes. Because one thing I found out, that the voice of God is a voice of pardon.
He tells us in chapter 40, verse 1 and 2, that when you find yourself caught in idolatry, immorality, and indecency, God's voice of pardon speaks tenderly. Because he begins in verse 1, comfort ye, comfort ye. Not only is this a voice of pardon, but it's a voice of providence. Isaiah 43 and 5 says, he lets us know, when you find yourself in a rough road ahead, they discovered God was already ahead of them. It's a voice of promise. If we're going to stay in tune to God's voice, we got to know that it's a voice of promise. Because in verse 6 through 8, that it lets us know that the word of God helps in what we fear, and what we face. And then there's a voice of peace. Because in 49 and 11, he reminds us that God's arm is not simply a mighty arm, but it's a loving arm. So then he gives us some adjectives of the Almighty God. If we're going to get refocused, then guess what? We have to understand that he is the everlasting God. That word, this word in the original Hebrew language, everlasting, is olam. This says that God is forever, he's constant, he's dependable, he's eternal, he's evermore, he's continuous, he has no beginning or ending. That means that he is totally reliable. And see, you don't have to look at your circumstances and see God. You look at God through God and see your circumstances. I wish I had a witness. See, this is how we change our situation, by looking into him who takes no counsel from man, neither receive any instruction from man. When I look at God through God and then see my circumstances, I can tell you what will happen. Weaknesses are strengthened. Yeah, your burdens are lifted. Your tears are dried. Your shackles are broken. The known God is profound. The fear God, you can feel God deeply, and you can experience God fully and enjoy God genuinely. I'll tell you what happened. When I look at God through God and then see my circumstances, guess what? I'm filled by God's spirit. I'm blessed by God's goodness. I'm lost in his love, and I'm energized by God's mercy, and I'm useful in God's plan, and I'm active in God's service. Why? Because he's the everlasting God. I get refocused. Why? Because he is the creator of the ends of the earth. In Hebrew, that word is bara, which means to make or cause something to be without any pre-existing material. Yeah, in other words, what are you saying, Myron Holmes, is that God cut out, he carved out, fashioned, and shaped the world. And he didn't get none of our input. That's why I can agree that God don't need to get no instructions from man. Because had he to ask us anything about helping to shape the world, ain't no telling what we would have said to God. Which says to me that God is never unaware of us at any moment. He is the creator. As a matter of fact, he is not some local divine being who has limited control over a small territory or just one part of nature. No, because when things happen in our lives, it's not because of God's ignorance or weaknesses. No. What we must realize, regardless of our outward circumstances, we can rest assured that our circumstance has a place in the wise and sovereign purpose of God. And so therefore, then, my brothers and sisters, he is never stumped by our problems. He's never baffled by our questions. He is never confused by our confusion, because he is a creator. When we know not what to do, Matthew Henry said, God knows. Yeah. See, so what do you say? See, while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. But while you pacing up and down the floor and losing sleep, God has already went ahead of us and fixed that commotion and chaos in our life. Yeah, because verse 28 is the believer's warranty for all of life's problems. Yes, it is, because guess what? I found out that when you buy a new car, matter of fact, about it, I went and bought a new cell phone back here the other week ago, and I found out it comes with a warranty along with the purchase. And that warranty guarantees the item for a specific period of time. And what that says is the manufacturer warranties the item, he made it. Yeah. They made it, and guess what? They got the warranty. Ooh, I wish y'all could see. He stands behind it. Why? See, since I got to stand behind this phone that I got, why? Because their reputation is on the line. Fact about it, guess what? He knows how to fix it because he designed this and he put this together. He got to stand behind his warranty. And God's warranty doesn't end after the 90 days. No, it lasts forever because the text says he's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. So all I'm saying is that I want to just encourage you today, if you would just take it to him, I'm 100% sure that God can fix it. If you stop trying to fix it yourself, I know God can repair it. Because I hear the hymn writer, songwriter in my ear, he says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. He said, oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Another adjective describes him. He says that he never grows weary. That means he is continually available. Yeah, weary is what happens when you work to the point of exhaustion and you get to the point saying that I'm done, I'm through. But God never says this because he has no limits. Yeah. In other words, this word in Hebrew means that God never runs out of strength, nor do he run out of energy. He doesn't struggle to do anything like we do because all he has to do is speak it and say it, and it happens. Yeah. I know you listen to these folks telling you you can speak it and say it, and it'll happen. But just read Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 through 16 on through, and you'll find out that God didn't give you that ability. I know that stuff sound good. You can walk up. Yeah, this cold ain't coming, but baby, you ain't got to just keep on talking to that cold. But don't go get you no Zancam or whatever it is and some Theraflu. I guarantee you be laid up in DRMC with the flu and something else. Just keep on speaking to it and don't take nothing with it. Yeah, because see, when we get ourselves realigned with his word and refocus on him, he'll supply us with strength, which then will enable us to push through and push on through this tiresome chapter of our life. And as you accept the invitation from God, then you can change your situation. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, you didn't realize once you accept the invitation from God, you didn't realize that you can endure this long. You didn't realize that you can go this far. You didn't realize you can take this much. You didn't realize you can rise this high or become this strong until you begin to operate in God's strength. Yeah, but you are who you are, what you are, where you are, how you are, because God has never grown weary in your life. Yeah. God, again, his tank never runs out of gas. Yeah, and if I may put it in human terms, he never answers so many prayers in one day that he can't get out of bed the next day. I love the hymn writer. He said, while others are calling, he said, do not pass me by. Yeah. See, all y'all on this side can be calling on him. And the folks on this side is calling on him. And the folk back here calling on him. And the folk in the balcony calling on him. And guess what? He won't pass none of us by, because guess what? He's an all-hearing God, and he inclines his ear unto his children. Then Isaiah says this. He gives another adjective about God. He said his understanding, he said, no one can fathom. That means he is absolutely trustworthy. There's no searching of his understanding.
When Israel was going through her time of affliction and oppression that was permitted by God, they couldn't figure out the whys and the how comes like we do. But what they did discover is that God was working it out through his own counsel for their blessing. His understanding, they had to realize, is infinite. And we have not the ability to investigate his mind because his wisdom is too high for us to grasp. We can't discern his mind because God is not like us. You can search the most secret recesses of the sea and will never discern the mind of God. No. Such knowledge is too high for us. It's easy, my brothers and sisters, when life's trials have piled up on us and have been prolonged for us, to think God has forgotten or is being indifferent to what we're going through. Come on. But saints of God, I stop by to tell you that kind of thinking is always the wrong kind of thinking. Because God is ever concerned about his people, and in his own time he will deliver. We feel this way because we're too busy trying to explore him to no avail. And my brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you that you can trust God. I know you can trust him because God is going to remember you like he remembered Noah. He's going to honor you like Mary. He's going to prosper you like Isaiah. He's like Isaac. He's going to protect you like Daniel. He's going to heal you like he healed Naaman. He's going to anoint you like he anointed David. He's going to favor you like he favored Moses. He's going to fight for you like he did for Israel. He's going to intervene for you like Esther. He's going to use you like he used Paul. He's going to answer you like he did Elijah. And he's going to keep you like he did the three Hebrew boys. But when you can dive into God, you never come to the end of his understanding. Because such knowledge is too much for us. Secondly, the text tells us, not only do we need to get refocused, but the text tells us, secondly, in verses 29 and 30, watch how God changes your circumstances. I'm almost done. The text says he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Yes, sir. Notice the words used here. He uses the word strength. It speaks of endurance in hard times. In this context, it means that you will have the strength you need when you need it and not before you need it. I'm going to say that again. It speaks of the strength that you will have when you need it and not before you need it. Watch it. See, life can cause you to grow weary and weak. But God permits you to receive power, and he gives it when we need it. He's not going to give it before you need it. But he gives you the strength exactly at the right time that you need it. See, when you feel beaten down by your condition, he'll provide you with some vigor, vim, and ver in your physical to go on. When you about to reach back and come back and slap them, he'll give you strength to steal your hand. When you about to read somebody your religion, their religious rights, you know, when they bleep every word you got to say. And you know you finna show enough do some cussing when you do this. Let me tell you one kind of pick and he'll give you some strength to tie your tongue down. Yeah. He says in the text that even the youth shall faint and be weary. Yeah, I helped somebody then. Yeah. You almost cussed somebody out in here this morning. I know you did. I can tell you did. Yeah. And he said, the young men shall fall exhausted. Young men typically think they have no limits. They never get enough of nothing. Yeah, I've been young. Yeah, I'm still young. Even at 50, I'm still young. Amen. But I've been younger than 50 before. Can I get a witness? Anybody else here beside me ever been younger than 50? See, it's like this. It's like even many of our children, that when they were, when even my own, when they were little boys, they didn't have no quit in them. Yeah. I got a grandson now, you know, and I don't know what I'm gonna do, you know, because I ain't had no babies in my house over 26 years. Amen. And you know, they don't have no quit in them. They stay up all day and all night. You know, Bro Murphy, they play for hours and hours. Yeah. And after you done reached a certain age, yeah, come on, grandmamas and granddaddies. Yeah, you found out you can't keep up with them no more. Yeah, you calling, y'all come get these children. Yeah, instead of them taking power naps, you taking power naps just to keep up with them in between time. Yeah, and while you out, they keep on going and going and going. I got some witnesses, but what is true of me will be true of my boys in the years to come. Because here's the reality, Brother McCray, I'm not going in their direction, but they're coming in my direction. That's the way life is. Even the strongest of the strong get tired. But the text says that when you run out of might, when you run out of ability, he will supply the needed strength to meet every test he permits us to face. That's how your circumstance is going to change. And when you face some tough challenges and you can't see your way through, don't turn in your resignation paper, not just yet. Because the text says he giveth power. And what he's saying, in other words, when you walk away and your walk out set in. Yeah, just believe and know that he giveth. Or he lend this power to you. And when you're about to do something foolish, yeah, he permit and employ power to come and to bail you out. So you can keep your sanity. You got to let God produce and provide for what you need, and that's power and strength. This is how you're going to change your circumstance. Lastly, not only did he show us how to change our circumstance, but watch this, lastly, in verse 31, Isaiah helps us to see the gift exchange. See, he exchanges something with us in the midst as we're going through our circumstance, as we're changing our circumstance. The text says that, but they that wait upon the Lord, he said, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's one thing to wait on the Lord, but it's another thing to wait for the Lord. See, waiting says that I'm postponing with expectation. I'm not waiting and giving up and not expecting nothing to happen. But I'm waiting with expectation. As we wait on him, we are changed into his likeness. As we wait for him in patience, we are delivered from worry and fretfulness, knowing that God is never late, but that in his own time, he will give us the help that we need. See, it's all wrapped up in the word renew. That word renew actually means to exchange one thing for another. Watch this. What it really means to us, it really means changing clothes. And you know, as Afro-American, we know about changing clothes, don't we? I mean, we change clothes. Don't let a holiday come. You know, We got a morning outfit, a noonday outfit, and we got a night outfit. So somebody up in there done that. Amen. It means changing clothes. What are you getting at, Holmes? See, as we wait, he begins to change us out of one garment into another. See, we, in other words, we go from strength to renewed strength. What he does, he replaces hopelessness with hopefulness. He trades out adversity with assurance. He substitutes problems with privileges. He switches out being bitter with becoming better. He changes our clothes. He gives us, watch this, he gives us strength then, the text says, to soar. Text says that we mount up with wings like eagles. This is what happens when you have so much energy and so much enthusiasm that you can't wait to get out of bed. Because guess what? You can rise. God has gave you enough strength so you can rise above your adversary. You can surpass every situation. You can exceed beyond every emotion. God will give you wings like an eagle. Then he'll give you strength to run. Text said you'll run, not be weary. This is the God-given ability to withstand enormous pressure. Because I tell you, in this life, guess what? We encounter some kind of pressure. This happens when God gives you unusual strength, unusual faith, an unusual anointing, an unusual power, unusual joy, an unusual peace, an unusual hope, and an unusual determination. And at the end of the day, when God supplies you with all that, this will be your testimony. You'll say, man, I don't know how I made it through this. I don't know how I made it through that. But Lord, I'm grateful. You'll be shouting out, somehow I made it. But through it all, God brought me through. He'll give you strength. Not only to run and not get away, but he'll give you strength to walk and not faint. I'm done right here. That's strength to do what you need to do every day. Yeah, because wherever you go, the text says, no, he'll give you strength. Wherever you're at, he'll give you strength to behave right. And you won't even grow weary in doing so. Yeah, so to change your circumstance, you got to learn to trust in him. Anybody trusting him yet? Trust is never easy. But it's the key to unlocking God's power. Trust will enable you to walk the path that the Almighty has chosen for your life. I hear the proverb is saying like this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and change your circumstance. Lean not on your own understanding. Yeah, that's what, and change your circumstance. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You can change your circumstance. Trust in him and he'll fight all your battles. Trust in him and you'll endure all your trials. Trust in him. You'll survive every test. Trust in him. And he'll help you to bear every burden and resist every temptation. Trust in him. He'll guide you in times of danger. Trust in him. He'll comfort you in times of sorrow. Trust in him. He'll lift you over every mountain. Trust in him. He'll strengthen you even in the midst of every valley. That's how you change your circumstance.